Okay, fellow Freedom fans, this is David Alan Carmichael coming back here at the top of the hour with the Faith and Freedom Show. It is commercial talk radio, and I talk about faith, and I say often that our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. I'm a Christian extremist. I think I'm supposed to love God and love my neighbor as myself, and sometimes people take offense at that. And what we try to do on the show is I'm going to be talking to folks later. I better be careful predicting who I'm going to talk to, because today we had technical difficulty meltdown. I thought it was us. So I was pushing all kinds of buttons and checking everything. I got my super duper backup studio extra power microphone on our call. And guess what? It was the caller's end. Bless their heart. They're still trying to figure out how to call out. Somebody has EMP'd Montreat College in the mountains of North Carolina. They have given them an electromagnetic pulse of some sort, and literally the author of One Second After is experiencing even the things he discussed in his book, One Second After. Our call-in number here, by the way, is 888-850-1872. I was so looking forward to this. I'm just gritting my teeth. We're going to see if we can get him back. Let me tell you what, I'm going to read from a news release. This came September 28th, and is that Dr. Fortune on the line?
Yeah, you can only be so lucky.
Okay, caller, what do you want to say? Hey, you know what? I know I recognize this caller's voice. I got my super-duper studio mic in here this time. Hey, you were going to love what he had to say about missiles and high-altitude bursts and stuff in Iran and North Carolina, North Korea. What's the difference? So what were you going to say?
Well, a couple of things. On HAARP, HAARP's been something going on since the 80s, they admit to, where they send high-powered, high-frequency radiation into the ozone to affect weather. These guys are crazy. But, yeah, I don't think people get the fact that, man, if there were a nuke exploding overhead, your communications is done. And we're not even teaching kids Morse code. So all these high-tech gadgets are done. Communications would be over with. Over. I mean, look at that smoke signals.
Well, what would it do to the radio station?
Oh, it would be done. All stations would be done. Everything runs on ICS. All the phones would be fried. It'd be done.
Now, of course, the transformers, they would survive, but all those rectifiers that give you DC power would be off. So all your power supplies and electronic power supplies would be smoked. You know, I guess that thing, what do they call it? The regulator, the voltage regulator. And hold on, I'm going to put you on hold for it. Hey, hold on just for a second. I'm going to pick up this next line because I think it's Dr. Fortune. Hey, welcome. Thank you for calling the Eagle 104.3 FM. Is this Dr. Fortune?
David, whoever was on it, was all muffled. Was that
okay, yeah. Okay, I'm going to go back to my other caller. Hey, okay, so with the radio transmitters, and this is something people don't realize, your voltage wegawater in your car is nothing but a little bridge rectifier. It's little diodes, and they are extremely susceptible to a voltage surge. So essentially, your voltage regulator would die in your car, and if you've got electronic ignition, that would die in your car, and with no spark, I'm told by mechanics, with no spark, you get no fire, do you?
No, motor vehicles is great. Motor vehicles are done. They wouldn't spark, because all the computer brains would be fried. It would be a mess. You don't even need it, like you said, a direct strike. It would be a total mess. Why aren't children being little children, kids, teenagers, Morse code? Because one thing that would survive is the ability to communicate via Morse code, and that art has been basically lost.
That's true. And all your internet access to looking it up on Wikipedia would be down, you know? So I have communicated in Morse code in the olden days, and I did it very badly. But, you know, the thing is about Morse code, too, is it's designed for brevity, where you do like letter and number codes. Like AB1 would mean something, you know? So it's not really practical to have a conversation unless you know what it's almost like using an acronym.
You actually start listening in words. You hear words, and even my 6-year-old knows SOS. She can tap out But it's not that hard. And, I mean, I'm surprised every American doesn't talk Morse code. Two things I'm shocked at, that every kindergarten or first grader should be introduced to Morse code and the abacus.
Well, well, that's extreme. I want to talk. I'm going to thank you for the call. I'm going to go on to some of this stuff, okay? And it turns out our replacement microphone, this is great. You're getting lots of folks. This is like the world at war. You know, I mean, this is not a test. We are actually having electromagnetic pulse discussion mayhem here, folks. Do you hear what happens when we replace our cardioid microphone with a standard studio mic? Just think how much noise that created. And so here we are. You are actually observing what happens when you have a communications breakdown in any scenario. So we're going to change that microphone before we come back, because we found out it wasn't us. So we don't have to have a super duper over toxic microphone. Okay, I want to read this news report here. This is a press release. Can I tell you what? Dr. Forshin's a fabulous writer. He's a fabulous historian. He goes through a lot of work to make sure that what he's writing about has some substance, is backed up by some information. We know that there was a guy who was kind of acted like a spy, walking around asking sonar questions. I could give you a story about that. Some gentleman I kicked out of sonar control one time, who's rich now because of his books. But Dr. Forshin's not like that. He's actually going to unclassified sources and getting information that is significant to all of us. Is, I think, something we need to pay attention. Dr. Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, will present a lecture at Montreat College on Saturday, October 17th at 7 p.m. And this is cheap, guys. You want to get into this? It's cheap. In Anderson Auditorium, which is really a beautiful place, entitled Faith and the Founding of America. So if you want to go up to the Asheville, North Carolina area and visit that area on the weekend of October 17th, take a little detour, a little dogleg over to Black Mountain and go up the road that goes right to Montreat College. Turn right at, Lookout Road or whatever it's called, and you'll get to Anderson Auditorium, and it's called, and there's a talk with Newt Gingrich, The Faith and the Founding of America. Whether or not you're passionate about Mr. Gingrich's political ideas in some sense, well, guess what? One thing that he's well known for, whether you love him or hate him, is his ability and his experience and knowledge with regard to history and the founding of the nation. A book signing with longtime Montreat College professor of history, Dr. William R. Fortune, will follow the lecture. Drs. Gingrich and Fortune have co-authored numerous New York Times bestsellers. Now, this is where these guys have gotten together. This event is open to the public. $10 admission. VIP tickets are $35 and they include a complimentary autographed copy of the forthcoming. Now, watch this. This is one of the things we were going to talk about, but we got messed up here. And we'll see if Dr. Forshin's still trying to get through to us. To Try Men's Souls by Dr. Newt Gingrich and Dr. William Forshin. One of the things about To Try Men's Souls, I'll just tell you what it is. It's about the crossing of the Delaware River. Old George Washington, in the deepest, darkest days of the Revolution, the Revolutionary War of America, is some of the aspects and perspectives of the troops and even what they were dealing with, what General George Washington was dealing with. And it wasn't like the big picture with the guy, you know, he's holding a pose as they cruise across the river there in their little rowboat. It gets down into the details of some of the things that were being dealt with by the men that were making the decisions at the time. So that's quite a challenging book. And I'm going to give them a plug. So the things that you want to look up to try to get a hold of is 1 second after. And that's what we're highlighting today. And there's an upcoming book that's going to be To Try Men's Souls. I want you to be looking, because there's a lot of folks in our listening audience. We have an eclectic group of listeners who are really getting a hoot out of the catastrophes happening today, sitting back, drinking their coffee and sipping their tea and getting a kick out of the sidestepping I'm having to do today. So it's a little bit crazy. One thing about when I was in the Navy and we had a weird situation, if I'm on watch and I'm, say, the evaluator, we're doing undersea warfare kind of goofy things and stuff, for the most part, you're just so attuned at what's going on, and you're so attuned at what you have to deal with. Shooting from the hip is pretty easy, but on the radio, when I cover such a wide array of subjects, and then at the same time to get substantive in each one, boy, things get crazy when you have problems. So I'm going to tell you some of the other books that William Forshin currently serves as faculty fellow at Montreat College, where he's taught history since 1993. I believe at least one of my children, I think, has been in one of his classes. He earned his doctorate from Purdue University, specializing in military history, history of technology. So he's well-equipped for this particular subject matter, by the way. He's the author of more than 40 books, including New York Times bestsellers Pearl Harbor and Gettysburg. So that's it. They get a little plug from Montreat College as a Christ-centered liberal arts institution. They do have bachelors of science available, with its main campus 4-year traditional students in Montreat. The Accelerated School of Professional and Adult Studies program is in Asheville and Charlotte and Black Mountain. Okay, so that's it. So that's a little plug for Montreat College. Oh, by the way, there's a lot of people from our... Uh-oh. I didn't mean to have that microphone on. Hey, you're calling the Faith and Freedom radio show on the Freedom 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment?
Well, David, I have a question. You've been talking a lot today about nuclear capabilities for EMP and so forth. And I was wondering if you at all noticed any of the glaring hypocrisy the U.S. has shown through the fact that they openly allow Israel, Pakistan, and India not to sign, not that they allowed them, but they don't put up any stink about them not signing the non-proliferation treaty, and then furthermore gave water nuclear activity to North Korea. But now Iran, who has invaded no one, who has let all of the inspectors come in, and all of our defense agencies have specifically said they don't show any bomb-making capabilities here. Why is it the media and so forth are jumping all over Iran when you have Israel, who is even brought upon by this UN council to be a part of the NPT, and they've just refused to do so and refused to allow any inspectors in? Why such a glaring hypocrisy?
Well, you know what? That's a good question. My problem is having to dance real quick. I'm trying to go to the list of countries that have signed the NPT. We'll just call it the NPT. And so the only problem is, if you give an example, if you read the NPT, the treaty itself, right now Iran could go to it. I don't know what kind of trouble they'd get into. But there's a provision in there that says, hey, if you don't want to be part of this treaty, just let us know, which is a little bit strange because, I guess it's pretty convenient to do that once you get all the information. Right now, I do not have the list of the signers on here. But so which ones are you telling me are not members? You know this for a fact if you check the list?
Absolutely. Israel, who has stayed both on the record and off the record that they, quote unquote, have nuclear capabilities, Pakistan and India. They're none of them are on the NPT. Both Israel and Iraq's a different story, but Israel has invaded both of their neighbors. Iran has never invaded anyone in my history. It just defies logic. And in fact, there was a vote that was done at the UN, which I'm not a fan of, but what was it, 42-41 to adhere Israel to IAEA inspections, and Israel saying to stick it where the sun don't shine, and we, the United States diplomats and bureaucrats, support Israel not even being a part of that. So they've never had any inspections done. And we support them blindly. It's maddening.
Well, I punched in to try to find the signers, and I'll keep looking at that. What you did is you just, again, gave me a homework assignment. Because theoretically, if somebody develops their own nuclear technology without the help of any friends and without the help of the benefit, stick with me if you could. We're going to go to a break, and I want to talk to you on the break. But we'll come back and we're going to talk about this. Keep tuning in to Freedom 104.3 FM. David Allen Carmichael. Check us out online at faithfreedoms.org. And our number is 888-850-1872.